Well, it seems like each and every Sunday we're so blessed to have such inspiring, anointed music, and I'm grateful for Jeremy. He's doing such a good job, and thankful for our choir. Amen. And our band is amazing. We're just so blessed to have so much talent in this church. What a blessed day it is for us here at Lizella Baptist Church. I appreciate you folks so much. I hope you know how much I love you and how much I love serving the Lord with you. One of the greatest privileges in my life is to be the pastor of this great church. I'm so happy to do it. I'm reminded of this lady who saw this old gentleman who was sitting on a porch, and he just looked so happy. His countenance was bubbling over, and she was not by nature a very happy person, so she said, "I'm going to walk over there and just find out what's the secret to his happiness." And he's an older guy, and she walked over on the porch, and she said, "Excuse me." She said, "I just moved in across the street." She said, "I saw you sitting on the porch. I couldn't help but notice just how filled with joy you are. You're just bubbling over with excitement." She said, "Tell me, what is the secret to your long and happy life?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I eat a lot of fatty foods." He said, "I eat pizza, I eat cheeseburgers, I eat fried chicken." He said, "I drink Cokes and Mountain Dew and sweet tea like it's going out of style." And he said, "By the way, I never exercise." He said, "I've never exercised a day in my life." She said, "Wow, that is amazing." She said, "I've just got to ask, how old are you? Are you 70 or older?" He said, "No, I'm 28. So, I went to the doctor recently, and I had put on a little bit of weight, and my doctor doesn't have the best bedside manner, and I said, what do I need to do?" And he said, "Don't eat anything fatty." And I said, "You mean like Pizza Hut and Zaxby's?" He said, "No, fatty, just don't eat anything." And well, it's always special when we gather around the fifth Sundays where we can have breakfast together and gather around the table of fellowship. In our fellowship hall, and boy, there was such a sweet spirit up there this morning, and then we get to come down here and worship as one corporate body, one church family, and I just dearly love it. Today we have the privilege of gathering around the Lord's table to participate in the sacred ordinance of communion. Normally, it's interesting to me that normally when people gather around the table, like what we were this morning in breakfast, there's conversation, there's joy, there's laughter, there's chattiness. But when we come to the Lord's table, it's interesting to me that it's very reverent, it's very reserved. In just a moment, when the bread and the cup are passed to you, there'll be no conversation, there'll be no laughter, there'll be no chattiness. The only talking will be done this morning by the table and by the elements. And the sacred ordinance of communion carries with it a message that is loud and clear to all of us assembled believers this morning. I want to read, if you brought your Bibles, if not, the verses will be on the screen, but I want to read to you this morning from John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and I want to begin reading in verse 12. And I'll be reading this morning from the LPE, the large print edition. And John chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. If you're there, say amen. When he, Jesus, had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. And very truly I tell you that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. And now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." This event took place on the Thursday evening before the Friday that Jesus was to go to the cross and be crucified. And Jesus gathered his best friends, his disciples, into a borrowed room, an upper room, with his best friends in the world. And together these men had been there for each other for 3 years. They had walked the roads of Galilee together. They had witnessed miracle after miracle together.
They had witnessed inspiring, amazing things together. They had faced religious opposition together. And now Jesus, the Son of God, gathers together with these men in this upper room so that he could observe and celebrate with them one last time a Passover feast together. And I'd venture to say that these disciples knew that something was amiss. They could tell by the mannerisms of Jesus. They could tell by something that was going on that this was different, and his actions were maybe just a little bit different. And about that time, as they were wondering, what's going on? Why is this so different? About that time, Jesus dresses down. Jesus, their hero, their Lord, their Savior, their teacher. He dresses down and he does something so unimaginable that they could hardly believe it. Jesus dressed like a servant, and he took a towel and a basin of water, and he began to wash the feet of his precious disciples. And in doing that, he was teaching them a lesson that they needed to learn. He's also teaching us a lesson that you and I need to learn today, and that is a lesson in humility. And before we observe, before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us to draw some inspiration from this incredible picture that Jesus painted in that upper room that night. Because what you've got to bear in mind this morning is that their modes of transportation in the first century was walking. That's what they did. They walked everywhere they went, and they wore sandals. And there were no paved roads. Every road was dirt road, and it was dusty. And because of that, they had a common practice of foot washing. It was generally understood that when you visited in someone's home as a guest, the host, the head of that home, would take his servant, and this servant would wash your feet. Now, to us in this culture, it would be awkward, it would be embarrassing to have someone wash our feet, but in that culture, it was common practice, much like if someone comes to our house, we would invite them, hey, have a seat on the couch. You want anything to drink? That's common in our culture, but in their culture, it was common for them to wash the feet of anyone who visited in their home. And so if a servant was not available to perform this service, then whoever was the most lowest ranking member of the family would then wash the feet of the guest. And these disciples were watching what Jesus was doing, and they were looking at one another in amazement, wondering, why is Jesus doing this? This is our teacher. This is our Lord. This is the Son of God. And they didn't know what to say. They were stunned that Jesus, the Son of God, would perform this menial task of a low-ranking servant. Make no mistake about it, Jesus was, is, and forever will be the most humble, the greatest servant that's ever lived. Luke chapter 22, verse 27, Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, Jesus said, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be a servant. In fact, over 300 times in the Bible, we're told to serve one another. So Jesus did not proclaim humility, he practiced humility. From his incarnation all the way to his crucifixion, Jesus never wanted to be served, but he always wanted to serve others. You think about it this way, I just couldn't help but be overwhelmed to think about it this week, that the Lord Jesus laid down his crown in heaven to pick up a thorny crown at Calvary to serve us. And just before he went to the cross, Jesus accepted the humble role of a servant, and he washed the feet of his disciples. Now here's why that's a big deal. Because if we'll start serving one another, if we'll take our eyes off ourselves, then we'll begin to see through the eyes of other people. And once you have a servant's heart, you begin to realize that every person on the earth is just as precious to God as you are. William Barclay said this, every economic problem would be solved if men lived for what they could do for others and not what they could get for themselves. Every political problem would be solved if the ambition of men was only to serve others and not enhance their own prestige. The divisions and disputes which tear churches asunder would for the most part never occur if the only desires of the church was to serve the church. and not care for what position that we're in as long as the service was given. William Barclay concluded by saying this: when Jesus spoke of the supreme greatness and value of men whose ambition was to be a servant, he laid down one of the greatest practical truths in the world. C.S. Lewis summed it up so profoundly. He said, a proud man is always looking down on things and people, and as long as we're looking down, we can't see what's above us. You're never more like the devil than when you're prideful, and you're never more like Jesus than when you're humble. James chapter 4, verse 6 says that God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. In other words, let me just put it this way: God resists the proud, but he assists the humble. Jesus uses this practice of washing the feet of his disciples as an object lesson in humility. And he was saying to them, in essence, this: that you guys have been arguing, y'all have been pouting over who the greatest is, who the most important is, but now I've shown you the type of attitude that you ought to have. And just as I've humbled myself and taken on the role of a servant, you need to have the same attitude towards one another. What an incredible moment in history that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of the universe, became a servant and washed the feet of his followers. And then Jesus tells them, if I, your master, your Lord, have taken on such a role, then you, my followers, ought to do the same, because no disciple is greater than his master. Jesus says that living a life of humility, it doesn't lower our own importance, but it raises the importance of others. Let me say that again, because I'll be honest, some of you are looking like your driver's license this morning. Let me say that again. Living a life of humility doesn't lower our own importance, but it raises the importance of others. Humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but it's thinking of ourselves less often. Dwight L. Moody said this: if we only get low enough, God will use us for his glory. Another time, Moody said this: the measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many he serves. My friends, can I tell you this morning, you can easily be too big for God to use, but you'll never be too small for God to use. In fact, the branch that bears the most fruit is the one that's bent the lowest to the ground. I like the way that one writer sums it up. They said, humility is a form of balance in which you can celebrate your own worth while sincerely believing that every other person on the planet is just as worthy as you are. We live in a day where it's all about power, it's all about prestige, it's all about possessions and positions. But according to Jesus, greatness is not found in position, it's not found in possessions, it's not found in prominence. According to Jesus, greatness in this world is found by being humble, by serving, and being a person of character. In this instance, Jesus was not primarily concerned with the dirtiness of the feet of his disciples. His main concern was their attitudes. They wanted to be great. They wanted to be powerful. They kept jockeying for position to see who was going to be the most important in the kingdom. And as the master, Jesus had every right to command their service. But in this instance, he said, look, I'm not here for you to serve me, but I'm here to serve you. What a true example. I've just come to understand after almost 30 years in the ministry that God's not called us to be important. He's called us to be humble. And in my opinion, the success of any leader, the success of any minister is not in how well he leads, but it's in how well he serves those who he's called to lead. And the message of Jesus teaches all of us here this morning that if you want to be humble, be faithful to serve others. If you humble yourself, watch what Jesus will do through you. And he summed up this very impactful lesson by these words: very truly I tell you that no servant is greater than his master, nor is any messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. I challenge you this week to look for opportunities to act in humility, to serve others. It may be that God's leading you this week to go visit a shut-in and just spend time with them and just engage them in conversation and just hear about their memories, hear their story, hear about parts of their life. Maybe this week God's calling you to take some food to one who's recovering from surgery or one who's struggling with bereavement. Maybe the Lord is telling you this week to write some notes of encouragement to people, some people that you know are struggling, and just sit down, just write 3 or 4 words. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I'm trusting God's best in the days ahead. I know it's been a struggle recently, but you've got a church family and you've got a friend that loves you. Remember the words of Jesus this morning. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Let's pray together. Before we observe the ordinance of communion, I want to extend an invitation to anyone here that needs to make a public decision this morning. If you're here today and you've never been saved, if you've never given your life to Jesus, there is no greater need for you. The greatest thing you could ever do is to give Jesus your heart, your soul, every part of you. I've never met a person who regretted getting saved. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to Jesus. If you want to know what it means to follow Him, if you want to know what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be born again, in just a moment we're going to stand, we're going to sing before we do communion, and I want to invite you to come down. I'll be down front, Rick will be standing down front. We would be thrilled this morning to tell you what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe you're looking for a church to join. And you've been visiting around in other churches and you just hadn't felt comfortable anywhere. You just hadn't felt the presence of God. And maybe you've come here this morning. Maybe you've been coming to this church recently and you feel like it's time. It's time to join. It's time to make that move. It's time to move our letter this morning. And if you're looking for a Jesus-focused, people-friendly church, you found one. We would be thrilled to have you. Or it may be that you just need to come down for prayer today. Maybe there's a health need. Maybe there's a financial need. It could be that you just need to intercede for someone in your family. And you just want to come down and spend some time on your knees before the Lord. Nobody's going to judge you for doing that. You come and take all the time that you need. If you need someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that. Brother Rick would be happy to do that. I'm thrilled to preach for you, but it'd be a great honor for me to pray with you today. It may be that there's sin in your life. The Bible is clear about not taking communion until we've asked forgiveness for any unknown sin, anything that is there. So I want to challenge you just in this moment to be thinking about any sin that's unconfessed, any sin that's besetting. Maybe there's some issues that you've had recently and you just need to come clean before the Lord and just confess before Him now in the quietness of this moment saying, Jesus, I need to be forgiven. Whatever God's leading you to do today, any decision that He's calling you to make, you be obedient. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray You'd move in this time of invitation. For Jesus' sake, in His name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing together. If you want to make a decision, you come. You want to kneel at the altar, you come. Whatever God's leading you to do today, there's freedom. You be obedient to whatever He's calling you to do. Come on.